How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah? It's warm in here, isn't it? You guys warm enough? We can turn the heat up a little bit. Probably. Work that out for you. I don't know about you, but it's been exciting to be a part of the kingdom of God. I know we talked about... Is it too loud?
Glenn.
It's okay. I forgive you.
I forgot to dismiss the children.
The children have to leave.
K through three.
Children, get out.
We're warning you now.
Oh.
The rest of
Just
us.
Kidding.
The rest of us are stuck here.
You got to be stuck here with me, grumpy old man.
We didn't talk about that. I forgot.
My kids don't think so anymore. That's a good thing. Oh, that's cool. You got a water shelf on this. Nice. You can see my water and everything. I already talked about water. We won't talk too much about that today. But I was thinking about the kingdom of God. I think about that a lot because I am part of the kingdom of God. Jesus has come into my life, and he made me his child. Okay? The creator of the universe has come, and he chose me to be a part of his family. And that's awesome to be chosen, right? I mean, if I get chosen to be on a team, man, I want to play. I want to be out on the field. I'm 55 now, almost 55. I keep forgetting that. Close enough. Just a round number. Go older. Why not? Who cares? All right? So I'm almost 55, and I still get to play softball. There's a guy on our team that has a goal. Am I too far in front of the speaker? Sorry. I move around too much. All right, over here. There's a guy on our softball team who's 78 years old, and he's our pitcher. Yeah. And he's out there in the heat. Pitching the ball, trying to stop the ball. He gets a hit. He went 3 for 3 last night. Every time. We give him a runner, but he made it the first. Awesome. But we want him on our team because he's got a lot of heart and he's got a lot of soul and he's got a lot of a spirit for the game. He wants to play. He wants to do his best. So we choose him to be on our team. I'm on the team too. We have a pretty big team. Last night we were shorthanded. They switched me from the outfield to the infield. I got to play first base, which I love too. But to be ready to move anytime I need to move, to go where I need to go, where God calls me to go, what we need to be doing is be ready. And he told us that. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, I'm coming back. We talked about it just a minute ago. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. And you know, here's our shortcoming. Sometimes as Christians we're like, man, this is terrible. And that song used that little phrase in there, it's kind of depressing here on earth, and that kind of bothers me a little bit. We do get depressed, I know, but don't stay there, okay? Get out of it. What's the middle word of anxiety? I. Yeah, centered around yourself. Stop it. Cut it out. When Jesus walked the earth, he said, stop it. All you who are weak and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. King David got it. King David understood it. He went through a lot. A lot of anxiety. People made fun of him. They criticized him. He was the king. He was the ruler God put in place, but he was a mean guy. He was a killer, right? He was a murderer. But yet God anointed him. Who am I to say to God's anointed, I hate him? Be careful. I'm just saying. That's God's word. That's how God set things up. So as we turn to the scriptures and think about where we're starting from in the book of Psalms, in particular, Psalm 62, if you turn there, they're going to put them up on the screen. If you don't have your Bible, that's fine. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version. If you don't have that, if you have the King James Version, that's fine too. It's not going to be that much different. Psalm 62 says this, for God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock. He is my salvation, my fortress. Now think about these words. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man and beat him up? Like a leaning wall and a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in his falsehood, in his mistakes. They bless their mouths, but inwardly they what? Oh, come on, you guys are awake. Inwardly, they what? They curse. They try to hide it. Selah. Let this bring peace. Think about it. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence. Again, he says it. For my hope is in him. It's from him. Verse 6 says, He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I will not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock. My refuge is God. Trust in Him all times. O people, pour out your heart before who? What does it say? Before Him, not to our neighbors, not gossiping about it. Pour out our heart to Him. Man, I wish I could spend 5 hours on that one. We're going to move on. Now I lost my place even. And rock for trust and for salvation. That's what I get for not leaving my finger where I left off. Eight. Save refuge. Okay. Those of low estate, let's go with verse 9. For those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. And the balances, they go up. They are together lighter than what? Breath. Put no trust in exhortation. Set no vain hopes on robbery and riches. If riches increase, set not your heart on them. Once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to man according to his work. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's not a mistake that we're here today. You chose us to be here before the foundation of the world, to be here today to listen to your word. Lord, many of us were tired and we got up. Maybe we didn't feel this or we didn't feel that or we weren't getting this, we weren't getting that. But you called us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Your spoken word spoke this time into existence. And I thank you for your word that tells us that you are our salvation today. And Lord, that you are truth. And we pray that truth would reign. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this day, society we live in today, it's become so fake that truth is actually what? A bother to people. Truth is actually a bother to people. It bothers people. You speak the truth to somebody, don't judge me. Dude, you got something on your face. Don't judge me. You got a big piece of spinach. Don't judge me. Wait a minute. I'm just trying to help. Don't judge me. You got some a big dirt spot on. Don't judge me. Dude, your clothes are all torn. You got a tear in your clothes. Don't judge me. I'm just trying to help you, man. You follow what I'm saying? We try to speak truth to someone, and they call it judgment. I don't know about you, but I need judgment. If my boss doesn't tell me I'm doing my job right, I might kill somebody. I drive school bus. It's funny. It's true. If I don't do my job right, I'm going to kill somebody. I need to be judged. I need to have people watching what I'm doing, and I do. The bosses follow us around on the buses to make sure we're doing our job right, and they're marking down. Oh, you forgot to turn your red lights on so many feet, and I get the paper, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got to be careful about that. I need to change. I need judgment to keep me in line, and that's what truth is. And if we don't want truth in our life, God forgive us. Daily, as soon as I get up in the morning, God give me truth today. Change me, because I am a mess. I'm a mess. Last time I spoke here was like the first time I spoke after the girls left. They took off 10 days before Christmas to do drugs. You remember that? I was crying around here like a big wet mess. My eyes were blubbering, and I've had many messes since then. But the truth is, God's word is the only thing that can heal us when we're broken. Amen? And it shouldn't bother us. So, God, the creator of the universe, gave us truth. He gave us Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way. Let's just scratch that off. Jesus is the way. Okay, that's cool. Let's just go the way. And he's life. Okay, that's cool. Let's just scratch off truth and just leave it out. We cannot leave it out. Truth is the center. Jesus has to be the center of our lives. Why is truth in the middle? Because it's the center. Truth brings life. Everybody's looking all over the place for life. And Jesus says, I am. He's it. What else do I need? Nothing. And that's why 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17, most of us have it memorized, says this, all scripture is God breathed. Beginning of creation, God breathed life into Adam. He breathed into the dirt and it became man. Wow. Someday we'll be able to see the video on that. When we get to heaven, he's got a better video program than any of us does. And we're going to be able to see how he did that. I don't get it, but he did it. He breathed out the scripture. All the scripture we have in front of us is God's breath. It gives us life. It's profitable for what? Teaching, for reproof, for judging. Yes, keeping us straight up here in our mind and in our heart. Otherwise, we're going to follow our feelings, and they're going to change as quick as that. They're going to change just like that because I'm hot today. I don't feel like doing anything. Baloney. Get up, wipe the sweat off, and go to work. What's the big deal? That's what my dad told me. Son, wipe the sweat off, get it out of your eyes, and go back to work. We'll do it together. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. And that's what our Creator does for us every day. If we can't do it, he'll come down and he'll walk with us and he'll help us do it. Don't sit there and say, I can't do it, because you're right, you can't. That's the first step. But don't stop there. Say, I need my Creator today because I can't do it myself. Let's go, God. Take his word. Because this is what it says. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for training in what? Righteousness, to do the right thing. I can't do it in my own mind because I am an idiot. We've established this many times. Ask my wife. She makes mistakes too, but I'm not going to call her that. I love her too much. But I can call myself that, and God knows. He says, Glenn, yes, you're an idiot, but let's work on that. Let's take it one step at a time. And he has. I'm not the man I used to be. I'm not the man I'm going to be yet. And God's still working on me, one day at a time. Training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete. It's a constant, complete, equipped for what? Every good work. You say, Glenn, I can't do anything good. You're right. You're right, you can't. I cannot do anything good. But with the power of God's word in my mind, because the Bible says, if I hide God's word in my heart and my mind, I will not sin against him. I will learn what is good and what is right and what is true and what is just and what is honest, what is lovely. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, that's what I'm supposed to be thinking on. That's what God's word teaches me to do. It's not a Buddhist thing. It's not another religion. That's God that created those words. It's God's breath into us. And we need to be breathing it in on a daily basis, all the time. So truth brings life. Next, we realize that truth provides protection. I don't know about you, but if you're on a job and you're working hard, you realize you got to have protection. If you're up in the trees, you're up in the trees cutting wood, you have to make sure you have the right protection on. If the chain pops off that chainsaw, there's going to be issues. If you don't have the right protection on, you got to have a guard on the chainsaw. Some people take those guards off, don't they? Do you do that? No, it's not good. You don't take the guards off because something's going to happen. Why are the guards there? Because somebody lost something somewhere along the way. Somebody lost an eye, or somebody got stitches, or lost a finger, or lost an arm. We keep the guards on. When I was working in the factory, if I didn't keep the guards on the machinery, I would get fired. I would get written up once. The second time was firing. That's it. You got two chances. The end. Guards had to stay on the machinery. It's for our protection. God provides us protection. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, for the word of God is what? Living. We just established that. It's established again. Living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, this illustration really isn't good for us today because we don't use swords. Maybe you do. You probably shouldn't. Your mom will be mad at you. And your dad won't like it if you cut off your finger or lose something, or, you know, it's a bad thing to carry a sword around. We just don't do it, okay? I had a guy come up to me. We did street evangelism 2 weeks ago in Lockport, and we live in the red zone in Lockport, and it's pretty rough. We get a lot of amazing people that come to our church. It's a little bit louder in our church than your church when praise and worship goes on, which is cool. People have tambourines and stuff, and people shout and holler, and it's good. But anyhow, this gentleman came up to me and said he was a Knight Templar. I don't know if I believed him or not, but he had this tattoo and everything. He says, I have a sword. I said, well, thank you for not bringing it. But most of us don't carry swords around. We don't really understand what swords are. So I like to think of this as sharper than any two-edged sword and able to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I like to think of it like this. When we're trying to do a job, they hand us a book, and it's all the instructions about all the rules, and you have to follow all the rules in the book or you're not going to keep your job, right? And we read the book, And then we're supposed to sign a paper, right? Somebody laughed. Did you read the whole book? Yeah, I know. She's like, I didn't do it. I know. I've done it too. You like, you read the highlights? You know, you read the big words? Okay, I got that. And they have something in the back that something they've added to the book maybe next year, so you just go over that. I know Rodney's here, and we did that, you know, the bus book, you know, and we read that, and we're like, oh, yeah, okay, we sign it. We're not really getting that, but we signed it. The point of that is that book really does protect us, and it protects other people. It protects the company. God's Word does the same thing for us. And many times we don't dig into it because, you know, I don't really feel like it today, or reading is hard. I can't read those tiny words. I don't know about you, but I can read these words. Technology is awesome, man. I can pop this up and I can read it without my glasses. It's awesome. I can read the Bible. I can turn it on and listen to it and read it, because with my pea brain, I need it twice as much as the next guy. I got to hear it and read it too. And that's what brings me power. It's not my intellect. It's not my wonderful personality, because I am nothing without Jesus. God's Word is quicker and more powerful than anything we could possibly imagine. That company book we have that claims to be great, or the union book that's supposed to keep your job forever, nothing compared to the power of God's Word. You get where I'm going with that? It's not about, I know the sword used to be the big deal, but now it's about policy. God's Word is the highest policy we can possibly have. God provides protection above all policies of this earth. Next thing we realize, that God's Word provides stability. And we find this in James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. It tells us this: if anybody lacks wisdom, Glenn Bloom III, just talking to you, Glenn, you bonehead, let him ask of God, and he might give it to you if you're a good person. Everybody agree with that? I hear somebody go, I don't dare say anything because he's going to pick on me. He's going to call me out. No, I'm not going to call you out. If you disagree with me, go ahead. It says it right here. They said no. So what is it? If anybody asks of God, he will give to all men liberally, without reproach. He won't hold back, and it will be given to him. But you have to ask just because you're feeling good? No. Not because of your feelings. Ask in faith. It goes far beyond our feelings. Stop the feeling process. I'm not feeling it today. It's just not here. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. Well, stop it. Stop the not caring. Just stop it. Okay? Today's the day we stop not caring. Every single day is the day we stop not caring. Stop it. Well, I don't care. Stop it. Can you hear me? Stop it. Ask in faith and don't waver. Don't back and forth. Well, maybe I should go over here. No, I don't know. Maybe this is better. Oh, no, maybe down here is better. Oh, what about this person? Look what they're saying over here. I like this guy. He's cool. He looks better. No. Ask in faith. Come to Jesus. Don't jump all over the place. And with him, there is no doubting. For he who doubts is just like that. The wave of the sea which jumps around. You don't know where it's going. You can't swim in Lake Ontario. You're not supposed to. It looks really calm, and you get out there and swim around. If you go too deep, there's a lot of currents down there, and all of a sudden, you're gone. Same thing that you go up in the River Niagara. You just hear about people just recently. Guys swimming up in the Niagara River got sucked in. They found him dead. Same next day. You don't know. It looks nice on the surface, but down below, you don't know what's waiting. We need to be grounded in God's Word. Otherwise, you're going to be tossed around. You don't know what's going to happen, and death can wait. Truth brings stability. We also realize that truth is fruitful. I don't know about you all, but I like food. Y'all like food. Like it too much. When I was at the camp, I put on like 15 pounds the first couple of years, and I was like, this is enough. And thankfully, it's been about 4 years now, and I'm back down to where I was before I started. But it takes a process. Okay, it's a process. To understand what life is in fruitful, being fruitful is this. And this is an awesome thought. And when Jesus shared this in the scripture, he talked about it a little bit different, I'm going to tell you today. But I want you to shout out to me, and this is where you got to wake up just a little bit, okay? Shout out to me your favorite food.
Pizza.
Yeah, my boy. What do you say? Ice cream. Yeah, in Japan, they have that for breakfast now. They open all the ice cream stores in the morning, and they serve breakfast. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm talking about. Pizza, ice cream. What else?
Peaches.
Okay, we got pizzas on the table. Look at this table. It's getting good. We got pizza, peaches, ice cream. Ice cream's melting. Hurry up. Tacos. Yeah. These are awesome. I'm hungry. What else? What? What kind of brisket? Beef brisket. There you go. Beef particular. Who? Lasagna. Nice. Italian. I hear a hand. I saw a hand. What? Come on. There's got to be more. Lobster? Chocolate? Shrimp, yeah. Coconut shrimp, all kinds of shrimp. Cocktail shrimp, what else? Some meatloaf? I didn't hear anybody say lobster except for me. Lobster, what else? Come on, get some good food. Meatloaf is good, but I used to have that when I was a kid. I got tired of it. Meatloaf, some people still love it. What else? What's that? Clams, yeah, some good clams. Bacon, lots of bacon. Bacon on the pizza, bacon on the shrimp, bacon on everything. What else? I'm getting hungry. Come on, you're getting closer. What else you got? It's a small table. We got to pick this more food on here. Lobster, crab, mac, and cheese. Nice. What did you say, cake? Chocolate cake. We'll set, throw vanilla cake on there, cheesecake on there, strawberry cheesecake, pecan pie, blueberry pie. Is it getting better? Is it getting better? A big turkey, a big giant turkey all sliced up. Nice golden brown turkey gravy. What do we got? Beef, roast beef. Some Kimmelwick rolls, some steak, yeah, big steaks. Nice, medium well done for you guys that are weird. Like my wife used to be weird and I brought her to the light. She used to be in the dark side. Come to the light and have the red meat. Now she eats red meat. Okay, here's this table, all right? We're moving quick. Here's this table. I know it seems weird. Glenn, this is supposed to be about the Bible. It is. This is because Jesus taught this. We're here. Truth is fruitful. You got all this table. It's filled with all these wonderful things. And there's a lot more, if you thought about it, you could put on there. And here's this big table. Let's go invite our friends to come and enjoy this food. So you go call everybody. I got all this food here. Come on over. Well, I can't. I got a funeral to go to today. Oh, I can't. I got to go golfing today. Oh, I can't. I'm not feeling very good today. I don't feel like eating today. Are you crazy? This is the best food in the world. The best cooks in the world cooked it. Well, I don't even know who cooked it. There might be hair in it. Somebody might have had a dirty dish. They cooked it in their oven. Come on. This is what Jesus said. You're going to have all that food, and you're going to invite people to come, and they're not going to come. And he says, now move on to the next person. Ask somebody that doesn't smell as nice as the person you asked before. They don't look quite as pretty as that person you asked before. They're high on drugs. They're drunk. Go ask them and bring them to my dinner. And they brought them. What are we doing, church? When we were doing the street evangelism for 3 days, we had every day we had people getting saved. Genesee and Pine, it's a red zone in Lockport. I invited churches, I invited people to come. Churches didn't come. Nobody wanted to come. We had people come that were drunk. Yep. People came that were high on drugs. You could smell the drugs from the houses around our church. You can smell it. I was out there praying several months before it happened, walking around. We handed out flyers for 3 blocks, walking by foot. The evangelists that came walked and handed out flyers to people. That's handing out and doing what you're supposed to be doing. Go. Go into all the world. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 25 explains it in great detail. Here's what we're supposed to be having in our lives and coming out of our lives. Not just in here, but it's supposed to be coming out. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is
love.
Okay, whatever. Love. Yeah, love. Do we really understand love? Filling in for a church down in the Cattaraugus Indian Reservation, did a whole series on love. They got tired of me preaching on love, kind of, but they got what love's about now. Love, joy, peace. Oh, everybody wants to have peace. Patience, kindness, goodness, fruitfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's a lot. That's a big table. Are we exercising all these fruits in our lives? Are they coming out? I'm still a work in progress, but I want all of them. wait a minute, let's just pick and, no. Doesn't say you get this one, this is your gift, goodness, you just get good, that's it. No, all of them, take the whole table and eat it up. And then let somebody else share what? Share with you. Share it with people. Share all these fruits. When someone disses you on the highway and they cut you off, the first thing you want to do is raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Right? It should be. Or it should be just sit there and smile and nod. Thank you, Lord, for making me keep my self-control and my goodness and my faithfulness in check and my peace and my love and my joy. It's all right here. I'm not going to say a word. It's hard. We drove bus. Right? People cut you off all the time. Oh, hurry, you got to get in front of the bus. You know, it's like, man, you want to blow your horn? You can't. You just want to run the little car over because you could. I can't. This says, no, I have to stop it. Against such, there is no law. In other words, God's curse does not come upon me because I am filled with his fruit. Awesome condition. It's common sense. Do it. All of the fruits. Have them here. Have them here. Heart and mind, all together. Not just in my mouth, but all together. Those who belong to Jesus Christ and have been crucified to the sinful nature with its passions and desires, this is part of the process we have to have. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with who? My feelings? If I feel like it today? If it's not too hot? If it's not too cold? No. It says, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Because Jesus said, when I leave this earth, I'm going to send somebody more powerful than I am. You say, man, if I could just see Jesus today, if I could just walk with him, you know, if he could just come to my workplace and see how terrible it is here, man, he would understand. He's already been there. He's the one that created that condition for you. Wow, Glenn, really? God created that condition for me? Yeah. Yeah, he did. And if you're sitting there and complaining about it, guess who you're complaining to? The creator of the universe. Yeah. You think Satan creates anything? No. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell, too. Satan can't create anything. He distorts our view. He twists thinking to think that all the answers are in a bottle or all the answers are in a something you smoke. This will bring you peace and happiness. No, God's word says, the only hope we have is in truth. Against such there is no law. Since we live by the Spirit, he's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can bring us fruit in this world. So if I think I have any other hope, I have to change. Finally, last, truth will always point to our pastor. Truth will always point to this church building where we come and we can rejoice in what God has given. No, doesn't say that either. Truth will always point to God. And we find this in John 16, verses 12 through 14. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't handle it. As God's word says. I wish I had the picture up there. It's a picture of a father's hand reaching down to a baby. Wish we had that up there. But it's okay. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot handle it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all what? Good feelings? Bubbly, happy days? Feeling good about yourself? No. He will guide us into all truth. Is come. Excuse me. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, first part of the verse, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall what? Not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, and whatsoever he shall speak, he will show you what? Things to come. Everybody wants to know what the future is. We need to be in the truth. Because he is the controller of the future. There is our peace. The fruit of the Spirit. Table's full. Eat it. Jump in. I don't want to. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive at what? At mine, and he will show it unto you. I don't show it unto anybody. I speak the truth. I plant seed. The Bible says, feed my sheep. All we can do is feed the sheep. Feed our friends. Feed our family. Some of us use the word sheep and we're like, what does that mean? No, in our culture, we don't know what sheep are. Yeah, you're right. Sheep are dumb. I had a sheep when I was little, a lamb. My dad bought it for him. Or didn't buy it. Somebody gave it to us. I asked Dad, where did I get that sheep? And I was like, I forgot. I asked him. So I remember the sheep beating me up all the time. Go feed the sheep. So I go out there and feed the sheep, and the sheep knocked me down. I'm trying to feed you. The sheep is knocking me down. I was about 10, 11. He's knocking me down. This food's all over the ground. I can't feed. This sheep is stupid. And it was a dumb. Sheep are dumb animals. We just don't get it nowadays. You know, who cares? It's a sheep. No, I don't know. I don't even know what they are. Most of us don't care. It's our culture. But today, I liken it unto this. When we go to school the very first day, or we're trying to figure a new job out, we get there, and we try to do the job, and we sit down and do it without anybody telling us what to do. How's that going to go for you? Walk into a McDonald's, and here's all these people running McDonald's that never did the job before. How would you feel? You ask for a cheeseburger, and you get a fish sandwich with bacon on it. What is this? That probably happens even with the people that do work there, I know. But anyhow, that's the likeness of life. And the working with sheep, it takes training, it takes purpose, it takes an opportunity for all of us to sit down with God's word and realize that he's the only one that's going to receive the glory in all I do. It's not me. It's not me. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about this church building. It's not about this church fellowship. It's about the kingdom of God. Because he's came to set up his kingdom in the hearts of men. Not in a specific church, a specific denomination. Because when he calls his people, Kathy and I were just talking about this the other day. I'm excited about getting to heaven. I love what's going on earth. I love what God's doing in people's hearts and lives. But when I get to heaven, I'm excited to see the people are there that I'm going to be surprised about seeing there. I'm going to say, what? I didn't know you gave your heart to Jesus before you died. Man, because I've wept over people that died and I wasn't sure if they were saved. A friend of mine, Willie McGill, I used to play softball with in Batavia for years. Big man, big black guy. I'm not quite sure if he was saved. I think he was. He would come to church once in a while with us, but I'm not quite sure. I really hope when I get to heaven, he's there. You know what I'm saying? Those people, you're just like, I'm not quite sure, Lord. I pray that they would. But when we have the opportunity to share truth with them, whether it be by what we say, by what we do, by how we walk, by how we set the table, the kind of food we put out for people to share from our lives, is it good food or is it stinking rotten tomatoes? Is it a plate full of maggot-filled meat? And we spew out curses to people. That's what we're doing. We give somebody the evil eye and the stink eye. Meh. What do you think you are? You stink. Get out of here. Your breath smells like alcohol. Get out of my face. Really? Is that what Jesus would do? According to the scripture and the picture you're looking up on there, he's always reaching down. Always reaching down. I have many things to say to you, but you can't handle it. And maybe this morning, we're having a hard time handling this truth of God's word. We haven't been looking for God's protection. We haven't been looking for a fruit-filled life. We haven't been looking for stability because we think we got it all figured out. We think we're all that in a bag of chips. We think we got it. And he's saying, no, you don't have all the answers. That's why you're still here on this earth. And until I'm done with you, you're going to stay there. And a lot of us say, man, this is terrible punishment being here. This is a terrible place to live. I hate this world. I just want to go to heaven. Stop it. Stop it. That's not truth. That's a lie. God has created us for a purpose. And our purpose should always point to God. Always point to God. So be ready to share the truth. Don't just share the truth, but live it. And it will be shared automatically with everybody we meet. Amen? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word and understand truth. Lord, your truth has changed my life daily. It's a daily thing. Just, just working together with friends at Kingdom Bound yesterday and meeting people, and this, I'm looking forward to Kingdom Bound tonight. It's a practice for heaven, the family of God getting together and the truth of God's word going out to people, talking with people that don't know Jesus at the park yesterday, and Lord, I'm excited. I'm excited about all the opportunities we have to be truth because you live inside me. There may be somebody here that doesn't have that. They're empty inside and they don't get it. And they see light. They see the light of Jesus right now. Lord, I pray right now that they would say, Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive my sins and fill my heart with your light because darkness is beating me up. Come into my life right now. I want to follow you instead of the darkness. Make that your prayer. Use whatever words you want to use, but ask him to forgive your sins. Say, I believe Jesus died for me. I want him in my life. I want truth to change me. Maybe you're a Christian here today. You've prayed that prayer already, and you've been struggling. You've been banging your head against the wall. You've been miserable. You've been grouchy. Ask God, God, help me to stop it. Take it away. I need peace. I need joy. I need a firm foundation in Jesus. Ask him. He promised he would. Wherever you're at, ask him to help you. Whatever sins he's brought to your heart, if there's anger, if there's bitterness, if there's whatever he's brought, ask him to forgive you right now and change you. He will. He promised he would take it away. But you got to ask him. Plead with him. He promised he would. Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for power. I thank you for love. But Lord, I thank you for truth that changes lives, changes my thinking, because, Lord, my mind is messed up without you. And I thank you that you come and you heal my mind, you heal my heart on a daily basis, 24/7, 365. Lord, there's things in this world that really distract us. I pray you help us to focus on the truth of who you are, so that we truly can be a light in the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray, God's people said,